When it was time to face the cross, he was the one that came out. Peter wanted to fight. I said, Peter, relax. Relax. Chill. Think about it for a second. Come on. Calm down. If I wanted deliverance, don't you think I could have asked the Father for 12 legions of angels and they would have wrapped up this matter? Relax. Marcus, bring your ear. Don't mind Peter. John, what I'm trying to say, he was very calm. He was very calm. I told you then, the day I first mentioned it, my wife and Joy were watching Mel Gibson beat Jesus Christ in my sitting room. And I told Joy, I said, it's not paining him. He said, sir, what do you mean? I said, it's not paining him. How can I beat a man like this and it's not paining him? I said, it's not because the beatings were not painful, but because he came to this point having suffered greater pain in the garden. Here, you need to beat him to bleed. In the garden, he bled without anybody touching him. The agony was suffered in the garden. By the time he came out of the garden, he had enough endorphins running around his brain. Those of you know physiology, you know what I'm saying? To calm all the physical pain down. I know what I'm saying. Now this is where that's why I told the whole story. Before he could come out of the garden, the Bible said that angels came and did what? Ministered to him, they strengthened him. This is the question. What did they do to him? They strengthened him. I don't have all the time to explain why I came to this conclusion. I believe they painted pictures for him. I believe they showed him the glory. God, because you see, the Bible said that he signified these things by angels. When God wanted to give John the Baptist, all right, revelations, he sent them by angels. So the same angels brought revelations to the man, Jesus Christ, and showed him the picture. So the Bible said, for the joy that was set before him, I believe that was in that garden, they set something before him. What am I saying? For him to be able to go to the cross, there was another level of revelation that was given to him. I've said to you before, if you're a business person, you're in a career, there are times you have to go through the valley of the shadow of death for you to reach the next level. But listen to me, you can't go through that valley wandering. You go through that valley having gone to the garden. You come through that valley, they'll say, this investment will take everything that you have, yet your soul will know that, yes, if I perish, let me perish. But this is the only way forward. You will go with confidence. But don't go until you have that understanding. That's what I'm saying. Life is in levels. I was going to make a statement. Your life, in fact, let me quote a friend of mine, Courage, the way he said it. I call him Archbishop. The way he said it is so beautiful. So that I'd rather quote him than tell you my own words. He said, where you are right now is a reflection of what you were doing, or let me use my own words, you were hearing in the past. What you will be tomorrow, where you will be tomorrow, is a reflection of what you are hearing today. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if you want to go to a higher level, are you getting me? You must hear a deeper thing. That's what it says. It said, the waters made them grow. The deep made them high. The waters made them grow. The deep made them high. You will find that after a while, your confessions will change. Not because you forgot the former one, but he entered into a different level. He did. It's so important. You see, one of the things about Christians, we copy acts too much, other people's actions, without copying, without having understanding. That's why, you know, I've said to you before, you see people say that in our church, we don't take medicine. And they don't take medicine, and they fall sick, and they die. Is it because it is wrong to say, I don't take medicine? No. But the man who founded the church did not take medicine. He did not fall sick. And when he fell sick, he refused to take medicine and he did not die. He got healed. He faced those who were sick, killed the medicine and the sickness out of their bodies. I remember some of the stories I read. John G. Lake, or even E.W. Kenyon. Some of those men, before they pray for you, you will repent of the sin of seeing a doctor. I don't know what I heard I say. You went to see a doctor before you came to see me. Repent. Kneel down. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, forgive me. I went to see a human agent. I'm telling you. And don't think they are joking. What a doctor couldn't solve, they will solve it. What am I saying? They didn't just make a statement, we don't go to medicine, we don't take medicines. No. They had a depth of understanding. Are you getting my point? Which was what they were uttering. If you don't have it, don't talk nonsense. You see, a doctor is not a crime. If that's, Kenneth Hagin, with all the healing that he preached, when his wife needed a surgery, he sent her to a doctor. Why? Simply because he had prayed for her, he knew the thing was not connecting. So he called her and said, listen to this, what can you believe? Now listen to me. He asked her, what can you believe? Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. So it's the depth to which you can believe. So he asked her, what can you believe? The woman said, I can believe that I will have a successful surgery. I can believe I will heal very well. He said, fine. So he held her hands and prayed, and she had a successful surgery and healed in record time. Before that, he was so sure that this woman is going to die early. And she knew in her heart, if she went for that surgery, she would come out dead. He had experiences before that in which he prayed for her and God told him simply that she's not going to die. You know, many things played together. Are you getting my point? And that's how she went. She finally died 2 or 3 years after him, and they were both in their 80s. People just come here and quote in our church. The man who said, I don't take medicine, he took something. You have not taken anything. I mean, in life, you must take something. You must take something. You must use something. Let's say, they are using something. You have to use something too. Well, if you're around on Tuesday, I told you, if you join politics, every politician uses something. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
They use something. He said, therefore, I won't join. No, as Christians, you also use something. We use something. Amen?
Amen.
We use something. Our own is just like their own. It's like it's more powerful, more intense, and it's cheaper for us. It doesn't cost money. We don't kill our children. We don't sacrifice our wives. We just go to a corner, sit down, and start reading some dangerous psalms. I'm telling you, we fight temptations. That's all we need to do. Yes. All our own expenditure is in fighting of temptation. Hey, I'm telling you. We use something. There's no... Let nobody tell you, hey, you know, I tell you, some people just say that. No, I don't believe in all those things. Yeah, look, when witch use your nose rough floor, you wake up. Yes. But some of us, I don't believe in something. I know what I mean. I mean, I believe in things harder. Every witch that comes, I use his or her nose to rub floor. I am the nose rubber. You get my point? I'm the weakest soul. You get my point? Like Miles Monroe said, there are people making talk as if the devil, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. You understand? So that we are fighting the gates of hell. He said, no, not like that. You are making it seem as if they are the ones advancing. And no. He said, the gates are for defense. So when they say the gates of hell shall not prevail, we are the ones attacking. The gates prevailing means that we can't enter. Gates are never for attack. No army carries gates into battle. Gates are around what? Cities. So I was listening to, Zimbabwean preacher, Tudor Bismarck. I was listening to him this morning, around 12:31 a.m. He was counting the different systems in the world. He counted like 20-something before I fell asleep. Also, political system, educational system, sporting system, entertainment system. I mean, he was counting the system, financial systems, economy. He said financial is different from economic. He explained and explained and explained. As he was saying, I said, I was catching it. That is, each one has a gate. The devil fenced it and built a gate. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell. When we have revelation, the word of God, the gates of hell cannot prevail. That is, we will knock it down and knock them out. Was Miles Monroe that first explained that to me? I shouted. He said, we are the aggressors. We're not the defenders. Satan is the one defending. Anyway, that's just by the way. What am I saying? We all use something. They are using something to defend. We have something we use to attack. When they go to shrine, the only difference is that they do those to shrine at night. We will sleep at night. You know, those are the things. We have our own shrine sessions early in the morning. We wake up. We wake up very early. We worship the Lord. We declare some dangerous scriptures against those who don't like us. Contend with them that contend with me. Let me not read some more. There are some that look very wicked. Make their wife widows, their children fatherless. You know, that doesn't sound nice. But when you join political party, please, that's a nice scripture. It's a nice scripture. Don't read all those ones that have mercy upon who? You read the one that says, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Do not forget their iniquities. You know, those are their... Have mercy upon me, but don't forget their iniquities. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. We all use something. We must use something. You can't walk into battle without armor, without weapons. We use something. The weapons of our warfare are real. They are not of the flesh, but they are present. They are there, mighty through God, for pulling down of any PDP barrier. AC, ABGA, any, what's the name of the one, the new one, PDC, CPC, anyone that says that the will of God will not be done, down. We have weapons. The Lord is good. Let me just say what I'm saying. I want to close. What I've tried to bring out here today is that as you are walking with God, you have new levels of truth each season. Before you move into a new season, you must have a new level of truth. I've been talking a lot because of the season in Nigeria about political matters. There are people that a time will come, God will start nudging them. This politics thing is the kind of thing I want people like you to do. Just have hearing and feeling, you know, in that area. You don't just get up and suddenly decide that, okay, I'm not a politician. No. You first settle down and start digging. What has God said about political office? What has he said about getting there? What is he saying about me now in my life? You keep on reading. You keep on studying. You keep on praying. You pray, you read, you pray, you read. You listen to teachings until something is sure inside you. Are you getting what I'm saying? For example, take ministry as an example. This money matter ministry. It's not today I knew what to do concerning. Now, there are different things in ministry, all right? But I'm just going to explain something. A lot of people, why they do what they do financially in ministry is because pressure to succeed. Are you getting my point? My own revelation is not about how God will bring money. That one is true. It's there. I knew I would pray, God will answer. But I knew that if he doesn't send money, I won't do it. I have that confidence. I had it in my soul long ago. I'm not called to ministry to impress anybody. The only thing I knew I had to do was to write my teachings that if I, listen, let me ask my wife, this is not a joke. If all of you didn't come here, only she will hear all these teachings. Poor girl, she married me. That is, I say, why are you disturbing her? I'll put a tape recorder there. If you buy man on assignment, understand the new covenant, walking the will of God, those tapes were preached to Joy, my wife, Deji. Maybe about 5 or 6 people. I think, yes. Were you there? There's a Juke. Him, Brown. No, a few people. Just sit down here. And listen to me. I was content to preach to only them. But if the microphone... There were times, you guys remember, I had 2 microphones. One to the recorder, one to the speaker. Because for me, I just must record it somewhere. After that, I let it go. I'm not called to perform to impress anybody. Believe me, that's one of the revelations I came into ministry with. It makes my life easy. It makes my life easy. You will go into politics with your own revelation like that. Like I told you, one of them is using that my own mentality. God didn't say win, he said contest. He didn't say win, he said campaign. He didn't say win. It's when you have contested and you have campaigned, I will either make you win or not. You understand my point? When I want you to win, there are different ways of winning. There is a one that, oh God, I don't have time. Let me not go into that area. There's one which you don't have money. You are the underdog, and there are 5 people ahead of you. I kill 5 people one night. And next day, they can't replace them. It's too late. You don't know God. You don't know him well. Go and ask Barack Obama. One day, had a man contest against him. I think Senatorial Post. The man was so rich. so rich. Obama woke up one morning, saw poster everywhere. Not his own, no. The opponent's own. What could he do? Then a few days later, the man's former wife woke up. I said, that man is a wicked soul. And in America, if your wife says you are wicked, you are dead politically. His wife granted an interview, the man's former wife, and abused the man thoroughly. That was the end of political career. The man resigned, leaving only one man standing. Look. Let me just... You know how Peter Obi became governor? It was because Ngigi and Chris Zuba began to fight. Those guys were doing so much bribery and corruption, even in you won't know, even in judiciary. At the time, they fought themselves so much, there was just one man left standing. Look, I've told you, Christians are not meant to struggle. They're just meant to do the right thing. He said, I don't have enough votes to buy, enough money to buy votes. Even if you did, don't buy. Tell them simply, when you go for political campaign, I don't have money to bribe you. Those who are bribing you will collect their money back from your money. Say it like that and go home. You might lose first time. Second, in fact, you may never win. But you have laid the foundation for the people coming after you. I mean, what is the name of this man? The man, the American civil rights, Martin Luther King Jr. He did not start the freedom fight. Go and hear the story or read the story. The church he pastored, they sacked the old man for fighting for equality. The church elders sacked the man. It was a 70-something-year-old pastor of that same church that Martin Luther King came to pastor, where he started all his political talk. The man used to shout in the church, you know, fight what is wrong and everything. The deacons in the church got tired. And they sacked him. Saying that the man his activism is too much. He's causing too much trouble for them. Unfortunately, the young man they hired to replace him, Martin Luther King Jr., before he took the seat, he went and met the old man and asked him what happened. The man told him everything. The old man was dreaming dreams, and the young man caught the vision. And the first sermon the young man preached, the new trouble has been amplified. You know his first sermon? If you have nothing to die for, you have nothing to live for. The new trouble had come. We should have just left that old man. from that platform. All he did was talk. He didn't carry a gun, nothing. All he did was what? Talk. God sets people up to amplify his voice. From what I even hear, that the Jews in America paid for most of those, you know, noise they were making. The Jews were white people. And they saw a man talking. They brought out money. They were rich. So that man is talking. The black guys didn't have money. But God raised other people who funded things. All the young man had to do was talk. Anyway, I will do my spiritual, political empowerment and development strategy seminar later. What I'm just saying, this is my message for this time, is that in each season, there's a word you will get, and that will throw you to the next level. Are you getting my point? And listen, because you understand that, let me go over that again. That's what a doer of the word is. A doer of the word is a person who understands that this is how I will reach the next level. So he goes around searching for that word. What a lot of people will call doers are actually copiers of the word. No, sorry, that's a copiers of the word. Copiers of other people's actions. Kenneth Hagin said, before I got healed, I confessed this 16 times. So they confessed their own 16 times. They are copying. That's not a doer. A doer knows that I need to get promoted. I've been in this level long enough. I have to move to another level. So the person settles down and says, God, I need a word that will throw me to another level. And until he hears that word, he does not move. Let me say one more thing, which... Please, I know I'll take 5 more minutes. I wanted to walk off now, but I just need these 5 extra minutes to say this. Although we've preached here and there, how the word works, go and get the message. I said the word becomes what? Flesh. Let me say it again. The word becomes what? Flesh. God is not looking for those who we act so as to produce the word. He's looking for those who we believe and allow the word produce in them. You hear what I said? God is looking for those who we allow the word produce in them. Not those who we act so as to, you know, make the word produce. No, the word we produce in them because they are drinking it. Listen to me. The word becomes flesh and dwells amongst men. Anything you believe will eventually be manifested in your life. Did you hear what I said? It's just for you to endure till the end. What does it mean to endure? Difficult times will come that want to make you change your mind. Don't agree. Let me leave it there. I preached the message before. Go and listen to the message, how the word works. All right? I'm profiting from the word of God. I think I discussed some of those things in there. But that's a summary of everything. What God wants is, I will describe what I want to do, and then I will say to you, follow me. Walk with me. Be perfect in your walk with me, and I will make you into something. That is, God will look at Abraham. Now, I told you before that when Abraham was looking at stars, there are different ways you can look at it. Some people look and say, Abraham is seeing stars in heaven. I really don't. Well, my understanding is that that's not what happened to Abraham, even though that's what it appears on the surface. My understanding is that God took Abraham, not outside, physical outside, took him high into the heavens and told him to look. And Abraham looked and saw 6,000 years down the line. He saw 5,000 years down the line. He saw 4,000 years down the line. And he showed him the cities. He said, look at that city. He said, what is that? He said, we'll call it Los Angeles. Look at what it looks like at night. When a man sees an American city lit at night, it looks like a billion stars. I know what I'm telling you. When he sees satellites in space, you don't know that those are stars. Human-made satellites too. When a man looks over what you and I call Middle East today, Dubai and all of that, you see the lights there. Abraham saw, oh God, I pray that you understand what I'm saying. Abraham saw what his descendants will be. He was believing for his descendants. So shall your seed be. That's what he said to him. Who's looking for accounting 200 billion non-entities? How would you like to have 200 billion non-entities as descendants? So will your descendants be. The man showed him the military forces that will arise out of his loins. The man believed. And he told him simply, walk with me, I will bring this thing to pass. Abraham said, that's all. Abraham did not have to learn how to build satellites. His descendants will do that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, you know what happened to you? Let me tell you the story of Young Icho. Young Icho says sometimes he sits on the board of their church in South Korea. He laughs in his mind. He was not too educated, all right? But on the board are professors, experienced scientists, journalists, all kinds of people. All you do like this, all of them go to one side. They'll go to one side. Anyway he goes, they move to that direction. It's called, so shall your seed be. I don't know what I get my point. I don't have to be experienced in journalism. I will hire a journalist who will die for me if necessary. That's how the word works. The word becomes what? Flesh. The word becomes what? Flesh. Let me leave it there. Go and get to that message. But what I've just tried to say so far is, give your heart wholly to the word of God again. God is going to erase those who won't do it, but establish those who will do it. You hear what I said? With Christianity, it's all or none. The way the Bishop Oyedepo used to say that, he was quoting from Oswald J. Smith, is either Lord of all or is not Lord at all. Are you getting my point? If you want to follow God, please follow him. A man came to me once and said that I should pray for him. I said, what do you do? He said, I help politicians. I said, what did you say? That when they enter into office, they will forget me. I said, may they continue to forget you. That's my human machinations. It does not work. I said, what do you do normally? He said, I'm a teacher. Where do you teach in secondary school? I said, go back to class and go and teach. God says, abide in the calling you were in when I called you. I abide in the position you were in when I called you. From that place, I will make into something you never imagined. You are following politicians. You're a thief yourself. Yes, that's how you are helping politicians when they get to office. They will forget you. May they continually forget people like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Especially if they ever come to church. But if you abide where you were when God spoke to you, don't worry. Don't worry. The same politicians your friends are helping will come to you one day to beg for help. Did I hear an amen? That's the way God works. So, are you getting what I'm saying? the Lord will bless you and produce his word in your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What God is looking for is people who will allow his word to work in them. Listen to me, you will be great.
Amen.
Not because you struggled, but because it was imposed upon you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
From next Saturday, I'm going to begin to teach about on the doctrine of the appointed time. Please be around. You'll see what I'm talking about. A time will come, you will look, and you won't believe that this is you. He said, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory. Glory is that we did not know it was going to be like that. But by the time it became like that, we're so overwhelmed. That's what glory is. If it was predictable, what's the big deal? The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. There's an appointed time for the dwelling. Amen? I said there's an appointed time for the dwelling. What you need to do is endure until that appointed time. God will give you things that will keep your soul occupied. You know, I've been teaching that for a while. Most of the things in your life are occupations for the season. Don't be tired of it. Oh God, please, I'm closing. You see, I'm going away. But most of the things are what? Occupations for the season. You have a job now, you don't like it too much. It's not fantastic. It's an occupation for the season. You're even doing ministry. It's not exactly what you expect. It's the occupation for what? This season. And you must be kept occupied for each season. You can't be idle. Are you getting my point? So enjoy the occupation for this season. What did I say? Enjoy the occupation for this season. Anyway, I will develop this thing from next Saturday. It's called the doctrine of the appointed time. There's an appointed time that God will pour a blessing upon you. And that time is getting crucially close for some people.
Amen.
It's dangerously close for a lot of people.
Amen.
If one Saturday you reach here, they say, Pastor Banky traveled, be afraid, I may not come back.